Henry, hit the theme song. Do 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 do. For those of you who are not watching the live video podcast, you should have seen the look on Henry's face after he did that. You knew this was coming. This has been a running gag for like the last 8 episodes or so.
Yeah, but I never know what you're gonna like cover, you know. So we have maybe like 6 or 7 questions that we're gonna work through. Hopefully, we'll get sidetracked.
I should emphasize these are questions brought to us by members of the Columbia Space Initiative, the club that sponsors us. We are their official podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should emphasize, this is Rocket Science. That's our podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Season 2, episode 1.
I'm David.
I'm Henry.
We're glad to have you back.
We have a small live studio audience with us today.
Do you guys want to introduce yourself real fast? That's too bad. Oh, where should we start? Well, we got several different topics. We got space exploration, foreign
that's
space
so
programs,
broad, like that's the entire
commercial
thing.
Space,
space exploration,
crazy space program concepts, space and the arts,
ooh,
space
ooh,
shuttle, and rocket propulsion.
I sort of like the idea of crazy space program concepts. Just
want to start there?
That's like a good meme.
No, it's
people
it's great.
Enjoy memes. Trying to think of specifics. There's one classic meme crazy space program thing that you can look up right now, David, if you want, called the Orion Project, which was it never really got off the ground, and it was a NASA idea where you build a spacecraft with a shield under it, like a super strong, super robust shield under it, and you literally just detonate nukes below the craft to propel it. You just drop nukes, the nuke would detonate, and you would fly upwards, and you drop another nuke, and then...
Is that more or less expensive than regular rockets?
Probably a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Because you have to, like, build nukes, and then...
It's a sexy concept,
them.
But it's not a concept.
We've got to do something with those nukes.
True, yeah, we have a lot of nukes. I mean, the environmental damage that you would do within the Earth's atmosphere is, you know, it's pretty bad.
There is one thing, it was called Project HARP. It was the High Altitude Research Project. Essentially what they wanted to do was figure out a way that you could just... They essentially wanted to build a space gun where you could load up your spaceship into a long, like, barrel, essentially, and just shoot it into space.
Is that not the space military plan?
Bro.
You mean the Space Force?
Space Force.
Did you see that the people who made The Office are making
a
Netflix show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, they're what?
They're making
a Netflix
series. Show with... Steve Carell about the Space Force.
No,
it's gonna go on Netflix.
That
yeah.
is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
I do have an idea for an experimental pace space program. So
lean
in. All right. People been talk a lot about space elevators, and as a residence of John Jay, some of us John Jay 14, some 15, we know the problems with elevators. They get stanky Friday nights. Everyone's in them at the same time, long lines, and you end up just taking the stairs. Boom, my idea, space escalators, right? Okay, we set them up across the globe, you hop on, you have a lane where people stand, a lane where people walk, decreases congestion on your way to Mars, all right? Boom. Please stop sitting on me, Micah.
All right. Do you want me to, like, critically evaluate that plan,
yeah,
or should we just
do.
Let it stand?
Please do.
You ever see that video... from like China, where the escalator breaks and they all fall down.
And like,
do I need to say anything
dozens
else?
Are injured.
Well, but think about that would be way better than a space elevator breaking. Okay, which would a hurdle? It'd be like Willy Wonka in the Great Glass Elevator. Like it would get hit by a comet, boom, flies across the world.
The main, not the main, but one of the issues that I can easily point out with the way that you worded that is you finished by saying that it would. Take you to Mars. Space elevators.
It doesn't have to,
it can
also take you to Pluto.
That.
If you
another implausible, you know, impossible destination to reach in a space elevator. Just because if it was that long, then it would certainly break because there's so many. Once you get past even a reasonable fraction of the distance to the moon, that thing's going
to
snap. Just because the gravitational tension, you know.
Get off of me!
I love the idea, though.
Another one I just found. It was
I love
called
the inspiration.
Oh, Mike is such an inspired individual. Another project I found, it was called Project West Ford. It was done during the Cold War. Essentially, it is they launched millions and billions of little thin, hairy pieces of copper. And essentially, we had a ring of copper around the Earth. What they wanted to do is, it was the military, they wanted to protect our long-range communications, and it kind of functioned as, like, the world's biggest radio antenna.
Huh.
It's not so much in contact, or intact anymore, but,
So they were just disjointed pieces of copper?
Yeah, it was a ring of copper.
Was it a plan, or did it ever go into fruition?
No, it happened. They launched copper in space.
Yeah, they did that. This isn't really a crazy space program idea, but if we want to talk about space programs in general, rockets in general, they all run on different fuels. So today, the most common, the most stable fuels are RP-1, which is the sort of refined kerosene, like jet fuel, and liquid oxygen. But in the past, in the 1960s in particular, in the Soviet Union in particular, they experimented with some pretty crazy fuels. In particular, what's called hypergolic fuels, which means that you don't need to ignite anything because these two fuels are so combustible that you just put them together, they immediately combust. Stuff like unsymmetric dimethyl hydrazine. And this stuff, if you store it in a tank, the only way to do it is to create like a layer of solid fluorine around it or something crazy, just because it'll react and explode immediately on contact with air, with water, with pretty much anything.
So it's basically just like a bottle of rocket, just like Pop Rocks and Coke,
yeah.
Combine them.
Yeah. Led to the deaths of, you know, hundreds of, you know,
in typical Stalin-esque fashion.
Yeah.
That's actually fun. We get to bring up the idea of different rocket fuels right now, because fuel that you use in space has to be different than the fuel you use on Earth for one fundamental reason. There's no air in space. This quick lesson in combustion, you take your fuel and you take oxygen gas, and that combusts to form water and carbon dioxide. In space, there is no oxygen gas.
Mm.
You gotta just supply it yourself.
You gotta take it with you. You have to have a fuel and an oxidizer. So, RP-1, liquid oxygen, that's sort of your typical pairing. But you could have different ones too. The space shuttle used hydrogen, which is very not dense, so that's why you saw those massive like orange tanks, which is pretty inefficient. You could also have solid rocket fuel, like the boosters on the space shuttle, that was solid rocket fuel.
Also have nuclear bombs.
You could have nuclear bombs.
Or just a real long pipe and some gunpowder.
So if you were to use nuclear weaponry,
mm-hmm.
and just detonate it, let's say the Earth just goes to right, like Wall-E style. And we just gotta boost our off of here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like we're already all global warmified. You know, there's nothing that left to destroy. So you just boost your butt off with some nukes. Could you control like the direction that you were going? Because I feel like
yeah.
they're just so big. And, like,
no, this was pretty extensively studied by NASA.
Well,
they thought it was
the
pretty
most
feasible.
American like space solution is like, bro, I'm just gonna explode ourselves to the moon.
Yeah, I mean, you also could have more legitimate radioactive fuels.
Mm.
Like, you could just have, like, a fusion engine or something like that. You
right.
don't need to detonate nukes.
But I thought, like, the cold fusion stuff was all disproven.
The cold fusion as... Well, cold fusion, yeah. Cold fusion is not a thing. But fusion-powered plants, you can... Okay, you can't get more energy than you put into it. So it's not for energy creation, it's super bad.
Right.
But you can still use it as a fuel if you wanted to. And I mean, we're going crazy sci-fi anyway. We're just talking about exploding nukes. Yeah, so.
There was a thing I saw once, I forget where, it was probably some documentary or maybe some sci-fi video, but there's a thing where you build a big space structure and you shoot a nuke from it behind you and you blast it off and that propels you. And you shoot another one and blast that. And you just keep blowing up nukes behind you, propelling yourself.
Or you could just, instead of building space structures, you can just kind of like, you can just do like island hopping, but instead of islands, you just use freaking comets and just kind of like, you know, like you just comet hop your way.
Why?
Y'all faces.
No, I'm serious. Like, you go, you land on a comet, you explode it with a nuke, boom, next comet.
But why would you bother stopping?
Because you need, like, because you were saying that you build a whole structure. I'm saying you could use pre-existing structures.
But
no,
it's not like
you don't land and blast off. You're on the structure. It's your spaceship.
Like,
and you blast up,
like,
you know, at the
you
land.
Don't to, yeah, you don't need to, like, push off against the Earth to get moving.
Okay.
Like, it's like Newton's third law. Like, you're just expelling gas.
Okay.
If, I don't know if that's what you were implying.
Okay.
I just want to clarify.
That's exactly what I was implying.
What if?
I don't know how basic physics works.
We build a giant
You're not a
physics
major. It's all good.
That's true.
And just slingshot spacecraft into space.
I mean, if we got all the rubber bands.
I mean, if a space gun didn't work, something tells me a space slingshot's gonna work even less.
I mean,
space
okay, a space gun would
space
not
gun.
Work on Earth, but you could, on the moon. There's certain guns, massive, like, artillery pieces.
I feel like you could make it work, but just not for humans.
Yeah. You could fire, like, a multi-ton projectile into orbit on the moon, certainly.
Ooh.
Using, like, massive artillery pieces. Like,
oh, yeah, it'd be insane.
Like, the Paris gun is a classic example. It was, like, a World War I era artillery piece, and that could...
It had to move around on train tracks. You see, Micah's going, so what if we had a space trains that had guns on them?
With nukes.
I'm pro.
Space trains. It's a throwback.
So we can talk about foreign space programs and commercial space. Obviously, the one that everyone knows about was the Soviet Space Agency.
Mm-hmm.
They beat us all the way until the end.
Yep.
I'm not gonna lie to you, they had us in the first half. That's a niche meme, some of you.
Yeah, that's
then,
I like that meme.
Okay, can we talk about this a little bit? Because
sure.
My boy, Ronald Reagan, I call him Big Daddy Ray Ray,
cut that part out.
No, don't cut that out. I'm not a huge fan of his, except for what he did with the space. But... he did the whole space, the Star Wars thing, right?
The Star Wars program, yeah.
Right, which was, in the abstract, a colossal failure, but pragmatically, the greatest fake-out potentially in American history. Because we're like, basically, we were just in a gadget war with Russia. We're like, boom, check out all these new toys we got. And they're like, it was like when you're like a little kid and like, you know, you're like, boom, check out this action figure, and they're like, uh-huh,
yeah,
I got
you,
this
you get the Beyblade, and you go,
exactly, right? Or like, you're like, flexing your Pokemon cards.
I don't think that's
kid.
What killed the Soviet Union, but it surely helped.
It surely
right.
helped, right? So basically, it's like, when you're a little kid, you buy like one cool Pokemon card, and then the other kid down the block whose parents spoil them, they just like, go, like, blow their entire parents, they come out like all the Pokemon cards ever. That's basically what we did to, like, the Soviets. And we totally collapsed their economy because they blew all their money on space gadgets while we're totally faking them out. So space is also
that's a good meme.
Yeah.
Good meme.
So speaking of foreign space agencies, I have a question for you, Henry.
Sure.
Okay. So the biggest space agency in Europe is the French Space Center, headquartered in Toulouse. And
well, there's
1,500 employees.
There's also ESA, like the European Space Agency. They have their own
right,
thing.
That's
yeah.
true. But that's more like a multilateral.
Like you
yeah.
would say the UN is the biggest country in the world.
Yeah, but the ESA like actually has their own rockets and they like launch their own astronauts. So
but anyway, part of this
yeah.
French space agency they have a state run UFO department for unidentified flying objects.
Big fan.
They employ civil servants for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that receives federal funding. Do you think that that's a worthwhile
I guess I don't know enough about it. I mean, if...
Are UFOs real, Henry?
Well...
Yes.
Are there
by definition,
things that
yes.
have... Yes. Like, if there's things that have been flying that have been unidentified. So in that sense, UFOs are real.
But
are
aliens.
UFOs aliens?
You see,
no.
I used to think
no.
it might... I used to think it might be possible. However, I don't mean to get political here. This is entirely just going to be the truth. Obviously... The President of the United States would know if there were aliens or not. And Donald Trump, regardless of whether they like the guy, he would tell you. He'd get on Twitter and go,
he tells us about the aliens.
Prime Minister just sent me a very strongly worded phone call. We are embargoing space. You would know it. If there were aliens,
that
the United States knew about, we would know. And, like, I don't think you can make a big conspiracy where they hide
no.
it from the president. You know?
We already had an episode on the Fermi Paradox, but it just would make no sense at all for aliens to travel light years, like, years of time in their reference frame, and just show up here on, like, a flying saucer and just fly around, freak us out, and then leave.
No, that just makes no sense.
Through, like, a wormhole, and they're like, oh, this is not where we wanted to be, and then blip back out.
No, they're definitely conducting research on us as we speak. Here's the thing, they don't reveal themselves to the press because these are super intelligent alien races.
It depends on what you mean by researching us. I don't think aliens are here. However...
Oh, they're among us.
However,
Micah, are you an alien?
How do you know?
If you're an alien, tell me. That's in the laws. It's in the Constitution.
I will say, though, Micah, it's hard to get, like, real statistics on any of this. But I think there is a reason.
Because Area 51's hiding it from.
No, I mean.
He has a point about Area 51. I think Micah brought this one home here. Area 51 is. Okay, listen to him.
Have
it's
you seen
very
movie?
Secretive, okay? There's a lot of stuff that the government doesn't want to tell you.
Without going into the statistics of the Fermi Paradox, I can say that there is a reasonable person could conclude that there is a good chance that. Aliens are looking at Earth through a telescope right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not here, necessarily, not like flying saucers, but like looking at our planet with a high-powered telescope.
How come so many people see them then? It's just the problem is that the people who see them, they only reveal themselves to uneducated masses. So like, they'll only reveal themselves to
Can you take a video?
Don't have a good explanation.
But you know what?
No.
Also, there's something crazy about these aliens is that everyone who is purported to have seen them later becomes like a total nut job.
I
think this is a good time to take a break.
This is Rocket Science, is the Columbia Space Initiative podcast, produced by Henry Manelski and David Tibbetts. Executive producer Milan Anand. Creative director Elise Palma. Audio is mixed by Micah Weiss. Edited by Kate Steiner. All right, part two. Intermission's over. Henry went to the bathroom. I kept sitting here. I just came in and chatted. China! A space program.
China.
Yay.
Most recent news, I pulled up some articles about China's space program.
Mm-hmm.
On January 15th, they actually had some seeds on the little thing, on the backside of the moon, and they had sprouted.
Wait, they sprouted seeds on the moon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then January 16th, one day later, the headline says, China's moon plants are dead.
But they sprouted.
Yes, you know,
that's
they sprouted for... It's spread it for a whole day, which is kind of cool, but,
So, I've got a question. Does this plant, extravaganza mean that America is currently losing the space race?
Okay.
Well, no, because they put, like,
yes.
in second place, really?
Well, okay.
That's it, we got
first
listen,
place.
Since
2011, the U.S. has not had our own rockets to send people into space.
But
we've been using the Russian Soyuz.
SpaceX?
This one's a jazz
one. Counting SpaceX. SpaceX hasn't launched humans into space yet.
Fair enough.
They're actually, their first test mission of their Dragon human-rated capsule is this month.
Right, and they're also, they want to give artists a bunch of acid, send them into space, and let them, like, free paint.
Yeah.
Which is going to produce some insane stuff.
Amazing.
Like, insane.
the rocket that they said they were going to launch the artists on is called the BFR. They changed the name now to the Starship, and they have it. They have the Starship. They have the Starship. It looks surreal, honestly. They just have the top part.
I see, like the aluminum one?
The aluminum one,
oh
yeah.
Oh my god, it's honestly beautiful. Like,
it actually broke yesterday.
Oh,
it,
the wind blew
yeah,
it
the wind
off.
Blew it over.
Someone's gonna die in this.
Yeah, if wind can blow it over, then this thing's gonna explode on re-entry.
Oh my god. Well, I mean,
now you said... Is China winning the space race because they got plants on Mars?
The moon.
Hello? Oh,
sorry.
The
moon.
The moon,
yeah.
Not Mars.
If they had plants on Mars, they would definitely be winning the space race.
Here's the thing, Micah. Here's the thing. We got humans on moon. Come on.
Wait, hold on. If they grew stuff on moon, they said they landed the rover on the dark side of the moon. How are they growing without sunlight?
The dark side of the moon is not
the
dark.
Sun sometimes.
It faces the sun half the
time.
Yeah. Well, it's not your fault. It's the fact that people call it dark side of the moon, that's not a thing. Everyone always says dark side of the moon. It's...
Just the opposite side.
Yeah. What's the, what are they? far side of the moon. There we go. The far side of the moon.
If they got cotton on the moon, we got to go up there, put corn and a John Deere tractor on the moon and show them how it's done. All right? Boom. End of story. We're going to definitely be winning the space race if we do that.
I'm going to jump out
that window. I can never, like... You're from Chicago, but, like, you sound like you're from Arkansas sometimes, or Alabama,
like,
or...
Hey, I'm just saying, I like me a good cornfield if we had that in space.
Space shuttle!
Mm.
Henry, what is the space shuttle, for those of us born after the year 2006?
The space shuttle was, I forget the year it was introduced.
2011,
yeah. Basically, after Apollo, which was a fairly expensive project, and the Vietnam War happened, and we had to cancel Apollo because of the cost. And at that time, NASA was starting to think, how are we going to get the most time in space per dollar? You know, how are we going to be able to get to space continuously? And what sounded like a great idea at the time was a shuttle. Actually, it's just based on the idea of reusability. Elon is doing reusability right now. He's landing his first stage boosters. That was sort of in this vein. The idea was you would launch up with this booster, the booster would come and crash or whatever, but this main shuttle with all these crazy complex, super expensive components would land like a plane.
Right.
And you wouldn't need to repair it too much, it would be great, and you would save a lot of money. And they predicted at the beginning, when they were developing it in the late 70s, early 80s, that they're going to launch these things like once a week, putting people into space.
Sure.
And that the space shuttle program itself, although we love the astronauts who are in the space shuttle program, and we love the shuttle itself, we love Dr. Massimino.
Don't I work here?
yeah, you work
here. Elise Palma, our creative director, just walked in the room.
Welcome.
She was invited, so I won't ask her about Elon Musk. A couple fun factoids about the shuttle. It was used in a total of 135 missions between the years 1981 and 2011. And its total mission time was 1,322 days. 19 hours, 21 minutes.
So it was used a lot, but it never hit that once a week quota.
Right.
And worse than that, it's largely now looked back on as a failure because of refurbishment costs. So they thought that they would be able to refurbish them cheap, something on the order of, like, for NASA it would be cheap, like millions of dollars between each flight. It actually turned out, it was over $1 billion per flight.
The range was about $500 million to $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
So the mean would be about $1 billion.
$1 billion per flight. And for context, a SpaceX rocket today, probably about like 60 to 80 million per flight. With their reusable concept down. And they have about the same capability. So it's kind of ridiculous how much it cost. And then it was canceled in 2011.
Would you chalk that up to, like, in relation to, in comparison to SpaceX, would you chalk that up to, like, bureaucratic inefficiency?
Bureaucratic inefficiency, definitely. Also, something that's very unique about SpaceX, compared to NASA, compared to governments, is that a government will contract to a ridiculous number of companies. And it's not really their fault. Basically, in order to get funding, they need supporters in Congress. In order to get supporters in Congress, you want
to put lobbyists to have those supporters.
Yeah, and you need to have as many plants in as many random states and districts as you can.
Of course.
So all of the rockets are... I'm going to say something wrong. American made, but they're like built in Texas, parts are shipped in from Utah, they're then tested in Alabama, and then they fly in Florida. And they have to ship all of these parts everywhere, and it's super expensive. SpaceX builds everything that they have in one facility in Hawthorne, California.
Yeah.
They build all of it themselves.
I mean, so. And that's just a reason why, like, the free market might just be the next frontier for space exploration. The only thing is that the mission is going to be far less humanitarian. It could have some humanitarian side effects, potentially. I think those should not be underrated. But, like, at the end of the day, they're just trying to get rich people to, like, see the Earth from orbit, which is freaking dope, but, like, I think that NASA and SpaceX are symbiotic rather than at odds.
I would agree. Because there's certain things that that investors would think is either too risky or not worth it, but that we kind of need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of the satellites that we maintain in orbit that power things like GPS,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't private investors. That was actually the U.S. Air Force and NASA who put those up there.
Right.
Yeah, and they're the ones who maintain those systems. And an investor wouldn't really see a point in coming and maintaining something that's not really in their interest.
One question I have about that, though, is, like, do you think we eventually, like, stunted our capacity for, like, good space exploration by, like, the government bankrolling all of those... all of the satellites, basically when the government says, okay, we're going to foot the bill for the telecommunications companies and for the Google Maps and all of that stuff, like, does that eventually make so that the private sector has no reason to actually touch outer space until, like, some wackadoodle like Elon Musk rolls around and blah, 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 blah. Big things to shoot up.
I think so. And also not only that, and we've talked about, like, space laws before and how they can't really be enforced.
Right.
But at the same time...
It's the next frontier. Yeah.
It's the next frontier. At the same time, all those UN treaties that prevent space companies from going to places like the moon, from doing space tourism, they're real things that huge companies, like, might think about. And
right.
Boeing might have... Companies like Boeing might have not wanted to go to the moon sooner just because there's all these treaties saying that you can't own anything that's in space. And if you want... people to, like, exploit is a bad term, but, like, take resources.
But I don't think that that's, like, can be the sole explanation for why.
I don't think so either.
Because, yeah. Like, all companies are all about just pushing regulatory benchmarks, right? There's like a limit, and they're gonna just push up against that until it's basically the rules are nullified or changed or altered so that they can do their thing.
Right, but that's a several billion dollar push.
Right, but they push in almost every other sector.
Right, because that's money that they could have spent on space or on every other sector.
I'm just saying that space, like, there's a lot of risk, but there's also a lot of reward. And there are so many companies
yeah.
that are willing to take huge risks in every other sector of the economy. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why there hasn't been...
Well, I think that people are starting to realize, and it's starting to change now that there's, like, a lot of startups that are actually with big investors who are going to space.
Yeah.
The main two... being SpaceX and Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos,
yeah,
former richest person in the world.
Yeah, well, I also think there's a cultural impediment to our I feel like the space was just kind of a fad that I think
mm-hmm.
passed for a little bit, and I think is being re-energized right now. And I think that, like, all the, like, international turmoil, all the Middle Eastern wars made us think of it as, like, some sort of intangible
mm-hmm.
thing that, like, we had all of these immediate existential threats plaguing us that, like, it wasn't a tenable goal or not a worthy goal.
Mm. But now I think that's hopefully
yeah,
it's changing.
We're bringing things back into focus.
Yeah, and the good thing about having companies like SpaceX is that what sort of happened in, like, the 2000s with NASA in particular was kind of troubling, just because there was George Bush's Constellation project, which was a really interesting concept, which would have taken us to the moon, would have taken us to Mars, and had this whole rocket system behind it. Then Obama canceled it and had this own... But he had his own vision for what he wanted it to look like, including going to the moon and going to Mars, just with a different rocket, a different budget. But they just scrapped the old idea. Billions of dollars of development gone.
Yeah.
And now the current program, the SLS, which Trump hasn't really touched or changed, because
he
doesn't really, is billions of dollars over budget and, like, a decade behind.
Yeah.
So it does help that, like, it doesn't really matter who the president of the United States is to SpaceX. They're just going to, they have investors.
Right,
their
right.
People are paying them to launch rockets. They're going to keep launching rockets. It doesn't matter what the government's doing.
So speaking of the government and SpaceX and art in space, y'all remember the orbital reflector, a sculpture by Trevor Paglen, recently launched into orbit?
The New Zealand guy?
Yeah. So it was launched into orbit on December 3rd, but because of the government shutdown, it wasn't inflated. So it's just going around, heating up when it gets near the sun, and then it cools down in Earth's shadow.
The podcast.
And then it's just going to fizzle out. And that's like $5 million down the drain for SpaceX because they funded it.
That's kind of disappointing.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
F's in the chat, boys.
F in the chat.
F
yeah.
in the chat.
All right, come over here. I need to ask you a question on the mic for the podcast. All right, so speaking of the MicroFest, does it say your name?
Joel.
All right. How do you feel about Elon Musk?
I don't like him.
Get out of this room.
Wait. Let the man speak his piece. Why?
You're not the host of the podcast.
Get out. I have
to. Okay.
Yeah, Lubia, Chibia.
I really don't like him, man. I have tea to drink.
Yeah, but he wants to get hired by him, so.
Dobra noc.
We have to defend him. Elon Musk is God. Final,
God.
Final remark.
The gall, the arrogance.
Somebody's asking questions.
Our savior. on Slack, like the messaging thing.
Yeah. That's the messaging for our group, the Columbia Space Initiative.
My like background picture is a picture of Elon Musk as God in like this like ancient mural or something.
Oh yeah, no, it's that really famous Spanish painting of Jesus.
Yeah, but with Elon on it, and he's holding the Falcon Heavy rocket.
He looks way too flattering, that picture. Like, where is the receding hairline? Where?
Hey.
He's like the
we cannot insult Elon.
Well, Henry, we covered all the topics we were going to talk about. Any closing remarks? Any closing questions?
Here's Tony Vanderpoel.
Alright, so being that you guys are very enthusiastic and don't have any closing remarks at all,
none of you. Closing remarks would be this could be the end for NASA's Mars Opportunity Rover. To end the podcast, we end with the Opportunity Rover, which was sailed in June after a big ol' sandstorm on Mars.
Big rip.
In June?
Opportunity was, I forget when it landed, but it was like 2004, 2003.
Yeah.
So it's way overstayed its like lifespan.
But you know, she did find bad evidence for water on Mars. Did some cool research.
Rip in peace.
Amen, brother.
Alright, well that's the show.